Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text Number 40. Prajapatir Dharma Patiya Ekadani Amanjaman Pradram Prajana Manvitschan Atish Tatsvarta Kamyaya Prajapatihi. The forefather of all living entities.
Dharmapati,
the father of religious life. Ekada,
once upon a time.
Niyaman, rules and regulations. Yaman, principles of control. Bhadram,
welfare.
Prajanam, of the living beings. Anvichchan,
desiring.
Atishtat,
situated.
Swaartha,
own interest.
Kamyaya,
so desiring.
Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. Purport. One cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. An unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life. Is there a Brahma Samhita there, by any chance? Just have a look, please. An unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life, and Lord Brahma, in order to teach all concerned within the jurisdiction of his generations, taught the same principles of sense control for executing higher duties. He desired the welfare of all as servants of God. And anyone desiring the welfare of the members of his family and generations must conduct a moral religious life. The highest life of moral principles is to become a devotee of the Lord. Because a pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. On the other hand, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, however, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, however qualified he may be, in the mundane sense of the term, cannot be qualified with any good quality worthy of the name. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma and persons in the chain of disciplic succession, do not do anything to instruct their subordinates without acting accordingly themselves.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam.
So One cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. What does Krishna recommend? The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees. By the method of constant endeavour for self-realisation with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct and perseverance in practice. Right? Whilst it's theoretically possible that one can be, and Prabhupada says one can become Krishna conscious in a moment, fully Krishna conscious in a moment. Generally, for most of us, it is an achievement attained after some period of time. As Krishna says, this is from the Brahma Samhita. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees. So what does that degree mean? Little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit. Right? Constant endeavour. Following scriptural evidence and theistic conduct. So what is that theistic conduct? Following a life of rules and regulations. Sounds inspiring, doesn't it? Huh? Rules and regulations, oh boy. I thought we left school. But, you know, discipline, progress arrived at from a disciplined lifestyle is what the human form of life is for, as Prabhupada mentions here. Not that one is free to pursue the pushings and the urges of the mind and the senses. Right? Vacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, jiva vegam, udra pashta vegam. Right? There's all of these pushings. The urge to speak, the mind's demands, the pushing of anger when we get frustrated. I was talking to Jai Sachi about we were talking about looking after cows, and he was mentioning that in Fiji, there are still places in Fiji where the farmers use the cows to till the soil and plough and harvest and so forth. And we were talking about how they keep the bulls. And usually, you know, a number of farmers have bulls because they have to impregnate the cows. But you can't have too many bulls because they fight. Right? When they get frustrated, then they fight with each other. Which is the nature of the human beings when they get frustrated. Right? They fight with each other. So just like animals, pursuing the senses, but then when the senses get frustrated, they can't get what they want, and they go out on a Saturday night, get drunk, take some drugs, and then punch each other. Right? It's a problem. What do they call it? The one-hit punch. You know, people are getting killed just by being punched by somebody who gets angry. So, you know, an unrestricted life of sense gratification is basically animal life. But the animals are restricted by the laws of material nature. And so In one sense, animal life is an opportunity to just follow the mind and the senses. But that's not really freedom, because one is caught, bound by these pushings and pullings, these urges. And in the human form of life, one is meant to learn how to control the mind and the senses so that the purpose of human life can be harnessed or taken advantage of. You know, it's not that we, as in the previous purport, you know, we don't deny the senses. The Prabhupada makes that point about plucking the eyes out, referring to the impersonalists. They engage the mind and the senses in material activities and then become frustrated. They realize that material life means frustration. And so therefore they just want to give it all up. No mind, no senses, let's just get rid of the whole lot. Let's just merge with the totality of existence so that we can be peaceful. Then we don't have to worry about it. But this kind of rejection of one's sensuality, if you like, is artificial, because it's a nature of the living entity. It's the nature of a personal identity to have senses. Human beings have senses. Actually, all living entities have senses. And so rather than letting the senses be out of control, one has to learn how to control the senses. That's the purpose. And the best way to control the senses is to give them positive engagements. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of children. Children, if you leave them alone, will get into trouble. Right? Tell them, don't play under the sink. Don't play in the cupboard under the sink. Right? So what will the children do? They'll go and play in the cupboard under the sink and drink the Dettol and the all of the stuff there that's going to kill them. So they need to be supervised. They need to be given positive engagements. Otherwise, unsupervised, they just create a mess. You know, they'll reach up onto the stove and pull the pot and then pull a whole pot of boiling water on top of themselves. Right? These things happen. Open up the door of the oven and stand on it, and then the oven comes crashing down on top of them. This is what happens. Unsupervised. Get in trouble. So the supervision for humankind, if you like, the positive engagements are enunciated in the scripture. What to do and what not to do. Yama, niyama. And that's mentioned here. Ekada. Once upon a time. Niyaman, yaman. Yama and Niyama, this is the beginning of yoga practice. And it's the beginning of devotional service in one sense. Give up that which is not conducive and accept that which is. So, Lord Brahma, in order to teach by example, took up this life of ordered life of religiousness by accepting the rules and regulations of devotional life. to set an example, right? In order to teach all concerned within the jurisdiction of his generations, taught the same principles of sense and control for executing higher duties. You know, because what happens is, even though initially it may appear to be difficult, just like children don't want to go to school, or at least when I was a kid, I didn't want to go to school. Anybody here wanted to go to school? Actually, some kids, they just naturally like to learn. Right? And when they're given the positive engagement, a structured environment, then they're like sponges. They just take it up. But some, you know, when there's a positive engagement and that one gets the benefits, then one becomes enthused in life. But if one is a little bit covered by the mode of passion and ignorance and one wants to, unruly, then one doesn't like to be disciplined. But when one gets the benefits of being disciplined, then one becomes enthusiastic about their learning, one becomes enthusiastic about their progress. So these rules and regulations described in the Bhagavad Gita, it's the mercy of the Lord, actually. And by following the rules and regulations, one gradually gets a higher taste from the engagement in positive activities and devotional services like that. Even though in the beginning, you know, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. You know, these restrictions seem to be, you know, when you tell people sometimes this is what you do, they say, well, what do you do for fun? How do you have fun? But for one who is able to apply the principles of sense control and mental control positively within their lives, they achieve a state of peacefulness or satisfaction that can't be achieved by simply pursuing the pushings of the mind and the senses. One gets a higher taste out of devotional activities. And when the mind and the senses are brought under control by regulation, by regular practice, by perseverance and determination, then one becomes peaceful. One isn't disturbed by the pushings of the mind and the senses. And as a result of that satisfaction, then one becomes happy. The happiness that people are pursuing by thinking they satisfy the mind and the senses is actually illusory, and it will always, the real happiness and satisfaction will always escape a person. Always. But one who's actually able to restrain and control the senses experiences the happiness and satisfaction which actually exists within all of us. We're all such Chit Ananda. And when we learn to act on the Brahman platform, on the spiritual platform, by following the regulative process of devotional service, then one attains a level of satisfaction that can't be imagined by those who are pursuing mere, you know, the crumbs of sense gratification. You know, sometimes we resist the application of devotional service, thinking it's too much of a trouble. But the problem with that is that we'll be then pushed by the mind and the senses, and ultimately we'll never be happy. And then what happens? You know, and then we think, oh, I'm fried. Okay. So many grizzles and grumbles and moans and groans about devotional service. But it's not that devotional service is the problem, it's the fact that we're not actually practicing devotional service. That's the problem. That's where the problems arise. We're pursuing something else. Krishna says, susukam katam avyayam. One becomes happy and satisfied. Tusyanti cha ramanti cha. By the performance of devotional service, one becomes happy and satisfied. If we're not happy and satisfied, that means we're not performing devotional service. Right? And, you know, there will be problems. So Lord Brahma is teaching his dependents, because he's the Prajapati, the leader, if you like, Dharmapati, the father of religious life, the forefather of all living entities. So he's he's not the Adipurusham, but for as far as those in the material world are concerned, or in the universal scheme of things are concerned, he's the leader. And so as a good leader, he's concerned about the welfare of those who are coming after him. And so therefore, desiring their welfare, he's showing by example how one comes to a state of elevation. Another symptom of a devotee. He's concerned about the welfare of others. And so therefore sets an example. It's for his benefit, but it's also for the benefit of others. So a devotee acts for the benefit of themselves. So there's some selfish motivation, but that's real selfishness, looking after one's spiritual welfare. That's proper selfishness. And in the process is, by example, showing how others can also benefit. So it's not just personal selfishness, but it is also concern for the welfare of others. The highest life of moral principles is to become a devotee. We shouldn't think otherwise. Now, we were reading the other day, Prabhupada said, devotees are better than kings. They're the best persons. There is nobody better in society than a devotee. Even if the others have all good qualities, and a devotee has bad qualities, in due course of time, the devotee will have good qualities because he's on the path of perfection. And in due course of time, the materialists will show their bad qualities. Because their mind and senses are not controlled. So, you know, you can put a dog on the throne. Right, the Prabhupada example, you can put a dog on the throne, but then get a bone and throw it on the ground and it'll jump off and run after the bone. Right? Just like we're seeing with a lot of these, you know, TV personalities, especially lately. Very famous hit songs as well. Oh, personality pretty much. Actually, the cult is, you know, to be naughty is good. Right? But we see, you know, people who present themselves as being upstanding and good model citizens, but then we discover, you know, 10, 15, 20 years later that they're assaulting young boys and young girls. So, you know, falling prey to the lowest base instincts, just like an animal. So a devotee may have these problems, but if he sticks to the process of devotional service, the positive engagement of one's senses in the highest activity, then even if there's some discrepancy, Krishna says that they're on the path of perfection and so gradually they'll be purified. What to speak of those who are pure devotees? So all of the devotees should be respected, especially those who are fixed on the path of devotional service. We should always seek out their association and take advantage of that sangha. One of the most important principles, you know, this is a principle of prema bhakti, sadhu sangha, the first item of panchanga bhakti, sadhu sangha, the association of the devotees. Because in the association of the devotees, one gradually develops one's spiritual identity. That means he becomes as good as God. That's what Prabhupada says here. The highest life of moral principles is to become a devotee of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. So, you know, by following this process, by following the principles of freedom, one will gradually be purified, and the good qualities of the demigods automatically manifest in the character of a devotee. One becomes a Goswami. This is recommended by Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada recommends, the Acharyas recommend, we should become a Goswami by controlling the mind and the senses, by engagement in devotional service, following the rules and regulations, accepting that which is favourable and rejecting that which is unfavourable, which in the beginning may appear to be somewhat difficult. But we should apply ourselves enthusiastically to this process. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees by the method of constant endeavour for self-realisation with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct and perseverance in practice. Right? Krishna says, these preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. What? We want to attain loving devotion. Loving devotion, than whom there is no superior well-being. So there's no superior state of existence than that achieved by the process of sadhana bhakti, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. This is instructions from the Lord to Brahma. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. So we have to develop faith in the process of devotional service and throw ourselves into it. Otherwise, if we have weak faith, then our realizations will be weak. There's a reciprocation. Yeyata mam prapadyante. Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. If we only surrender begrudgingly, then Krishna will reciprocate only minimally. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. So everybody's acting. Right? Everyone's acting. Can't stop it. Not possible. If you're not acting, you're dead. So while we're alive, we will always act. By meditating on me by means of those deeds. So our activity in Krishna consciousness is our meditation, it's our service. Right? And by this we meditate on the Lord, because we're engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So it can be sweeping the courtyard, it can be mowing the lawn, it can be washing the dishes, whatever. So many activities, if they're done in relationship to Krishna, that's devotional service. And that's the means by which we can come to know the Lord. By meditating on me by means of those deeds, what kind of deeds? What kind of deeds?
Worship.
Yeah, worship. Yep, chanting, sadhana bhakti, preliminary practices of devotion. One will attain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the supreme service. So, the highest life of moral principles is to become a devotee of the Lord. Because a pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. So, you know, in the beginning stages, there may be some discrepancies. Not a problem. You know, if there are discrepancies in a devotee, should we be surprised? No, the problem is, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we think, you know, now I've learned all the prayers and I know when to bow down at the right time and say jai at the right time, that I've become perfect. I know how to tie my sari up, so now I've made it. Or I know how to put my dhoti on, I can put tilak on. But that's just the beginning. These are preliminary activities. We get so puffed up, we think, oh, now I've really made it. And then we wonder, why aren't I a pure devotee? But we're not. Humility is required to understand where we're situated and that we need to apply ourselves. We are mercy cases. On the other hand, one who is not a devotee, however qualified he may be in the mundane sense of the term, cannot be qualified with any good quality worthy of the name. So the good qualities accrue to the devotees because they're permanent. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma and persons in the chain of disciplic succession, do not do anything to instruct their subordinates without acting accordingly themselves. Yad yad acharati shreshtas. Tat tat evetaro janaha. Sajat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. So they teach by example. Ya shastra vidhi mutsrija. Vatate kama karataha. Right? One who's engaged in devotional service follows the vidhi given within the shastra. Those who are impelled by passion, kama, lust, they give it up. So we need to stick to the process. It'll be painful, it'll hurt, the mind will hurt. No, I don't want to do this. Why do I have to do this? It's so hard. Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's recommendation is in the morning, beat the mind with a stick 100 times. Then at night, before you go to bed, with shoes. Huh? Because as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, our mind will be our best friend if engaged in devotional service, or our worst enemy. You know, when we're able to remember Krishna, when we're able to remember Lord Chaitanya, then even the most difficult thing becomes easy. We can just do it. We think, wow, that was easy. But then when the mind is out of control and we can't remember, then, you know, we can't even tie up our shoelaces. It's so hard.
Do I have to?
This is the mind. Mental. What's wrong with him? He's mental. So he can't do anything. There's actually nothing wrong with him. Perfectly healthy. Just the mind's in a bind. Anybody experience that? Of course, this is why we chant Hare Krishna. Why it's recommended. You know, we rise early and perform our devotional practices and chant with enthusiasm and focus, because it then keeps the mind under control and then readily able to meditate on our service, whatever it may be. But this is the highest life. Succumbing to the pushings of the mind and the senses is animal life. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidhimvina Aikantiki Re Bhakte Utpatyaiva Kalpate. Devotional service that is performed without consideration of what's contained, of the instructions that are contained within the Shruti and the Smriti and the Puranas and the Pancharatra, is a disturbance and ineffective. It leads people on the wrong path. And so therefore, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada appeared in order to demonstrate and teach the correct path. For our benefit and for those who come behind us, for their benefit as well. This is Brahma's legacy. And this is why he's setting this example. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Jai Jagannath. What does it actually mean? It means chant Hare Krishna. They find it well. Well, you know, there's two things. There's our sadhana. And that's basic for all, whatever propensities you have. That means rising early, going to Mangala Arati, chanting one's rounds, worshipping the deity, whatever. It's a sadhana. It's devotional practice. That's for everybody. There are no exceptions. That's, if you want to make spiritual progress, that's what you have to do. But then there's, and so that's regardless of vana or ashrama. For those who want to become devotees, that's required. Then there's vana and ashram duties, or daiva vana ashram duties. And so that's determined by ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. There are rules and there are recommendations and the stages of transition. There are rules and regulations for those ashrams also. And then vana occupation, depending on the nature of the person and the propensities that they have, they can engage then in activities guided by the brahmanas and the kshatriyas so that ultimately they're serving a Krishna-conscious society. So the results of their actions are then engaged in devotional service. Why do devotees like to work with devotees? Because, otherwise our activities are just going for some material pursuits. So all of those things taken into consideration thoughtfully and carefully, one makes a plan then how to be engaged in activities that are ultimately pleasing to the Lord. Varnashrama is meant to please Krishna. And so the results of those activities, so both directly through our sadhana and indirectly by our devotional activities, we are recommended to understand the Lord. How's that sound? The details will depend on each individual. Whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're brahminically inclined or a mixture. Most of us have a mix because it's Kali Yuga. Kalo Sudra Sambhava. We're all born Sudras, or less actually. But as we become purified and as we learn to control the mind and the senses, then we become aware of our natural propensities to act. And then we'll go and do it. It's what happens. Make sense? But if we want to be devotees, which is the most important, the important thing, then, the least we have to do is chant and follow the regulated principles of devotional service. Say that again, just so I get it right.
These rules and regulations is to keep our mind, because the mind, the nature of the mind is repulsive, to keep our mind engaged in the service of Krishna.
Mm.
Or is that, the rules and regulations are meant so that one...
No, they're to keep us basically behaved properly.
So is that, will eventually make us spontaneous love?
No. No, they won't. In and of themselves, they won't. But as part of the devotional process, we have, as I mentioned, this panchanga bhakti, the five stimuluses for prema. Right? So in the process of devotional service, we have the association of the devotees. Sankirtan. Chanting Hare Krishna, right? Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, believe it or not, what we're doing now is an impetus for prema. Why is that? Anybody like to say, why is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam important for developing our love for Krishna. Yeah, we're glorifying the Lord. Huh? Yeah, gets rid of the dirty things. Yeah.
Non-different from Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, we can remember. But when we go about our daily activities, then we think back to what we... Or this is what I do anyway. I think back to what I heard in the Bhagavatam class. It just pops up automatically. Because, you know, the mind is... it's like a sponge. It absorbs things. But then it also... repeats them. Right? Have you heard of the Germans call it an earworm? You know what an earworm is? What's an earworm?
Generally, it's a song.
Yes, it's a song. Hasn't been happening to me very much lately, which is probably a good sign. Oh, no, actually, yes, it was. Yes, it did. I remember I went shopping with Tithiraj the other day and we were in Rivers menswear store and they were playing music on the radio. Right? So then I came out of the shop with whatever that old song was that I was listening to, you know. So you remember things. So the mind, you know, if we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we automatically will remember Krishna. It removes the unwanted thoughts, unwanted things, that fills our minds up with meditation. So, worship of the deities. So we come before the deities, and even the deity worship has rules and regulations, right? So, 7 o'clock in the morning, we come and offer our obeisances to the deities. In the morning, we offer boga and so forth. All of the worship of the deity is an impetus for love of Godhead and residing in a sacred place. So the rules and regulations keep us out of mischief, if you like. But then there are particular act, and of course that is devotional service. It's the preliminary, as Krishna says here, it's the preliminary stages of devotional service. But then these other activities, panchanga bhakti, they're impetus for building our love for Krishna. Does that make sense? That's my understanding. Is that right? I hope it's right, otherwise we're in trouble. You know, it's not very difficult, actually. Our process is very, very simple. We just have to throw ourselves into it. And embrace the austerity. Look forward to it. Yay! Trouble, let's bring it on. Anxiety for Krishna. Chidahari asked Prabhupada here in Melbourne on a morning walk about, you know, devotees don't, you know, want to be peaceful. We want peace, but actually that's the peace and satisfaction comes from the mind and the senses being controlled. But that sense control, in order to be steady, needs to be tested. That's Maya's job, thankless task, is to test our determination and to test us so that in all circumstances we can become steady. And so, therefore, a devotee embraces the difficulties as an opportunity to strengthen their devotion. Not that, oh, there's problems, oh, it's too hard, I want to give up. But we should, it's not fair. I can't do it. I mean, in the Association of the Devotees, we learn that it is fair. Actually, any difficulty we experience is just a minor inconvenience to what we really should be receiving in consideration of the bad karmas that we've been engaged in. But the difficulties are basically opportunities for us to really soberly look at our situation, understand where we're situated in devotional service, be humble. Very often, that's the key lesson to learn in any circumstance, is our dependency on the mercy of the devotees and of the Lord, and take stock of our current situation and then be humble enough to move forward. So the devotees actually look forward to struggle and difficulties as a means of keeping themselves strong in devotion. the Sankirtan the Association of the Devotees, the hearing of the Bhakti, these things all nourish and strengthen that determination. Chanting Hare Krishna. And the rules and regulations keep us, on the track. Like Prabhupada gives the example of the train, in order to stay on the track, requires the rails. So we have the Bhagavat Vidhi and the Pancharatra Vidhi. And we follow those rules and regulations in the pursuance of our devotional service. That's the beginning. Anything else? Any of the ladies got a question? Yes, Rasa. On the response of what?
You're talking about earworms, that tendency of the mind to repeat.
Oh, the earworm. Yep.
So normally we hear the mind accepts and rejects.
I like it when I wake up in the morning and I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I don't like it in the morning when I wake up and I'm thinking, I'm singing some Beatles song. I sometimes wake up in the morning and I'm singing, I have to admit it's getting better. You know that song? That. Well, that's good. Yeah. I had a dream this morning that I was in London at the Rath Yatra. And I was taking pictures with my camera. Then the devotees got me to do some preaching. So that's good. Yesterday I woke up dreaming about Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and he was encouraging me to lead kirtan. I don't know why, but anyway.
So
that's good. The mind will accept anything, unfortunately, and it'll repeat it, definitely. Friend or enemy, right? Friend or enemy needs to be trained. All right, we should finish here. Kanjara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktabrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.